Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the half-price sale is now on.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Tuesday, the 11th of May, 2021. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh,
question
thank you.
Coming from Alan, who lives in North Ipswich.
He wants to know. First of all, he starts off by saying, hello, team.
Oh, hello, Alan from North Ipswich.
He loves how we answer listener questions to start the podcast.
Oh, does he just?
You're welcome.
Yeah, no
he
worries.
Wants to know, though, what are your favourite flavour of Arnott's shapes?
Oh, that's easy.
I love the chicken crimpy, but both my mum...
Oh, you do?
No, Alan does.
Oh, sorry, you're reading.
And his wife and his mum hate them.
Oh.
Is he a weirdo? Does everyone hate chicken crimpy?
Can we break this down? Hate's too strong
it's
for
a strong
biscuit.
Word.
You shouldn't hate biscuits.
I'm
you
not
dislike
a
them.
Chicken chip, any kind of chip biscuit oh. fan. And
well,
I think
right.
the crimpy, the texture of the biscuit is different. I'm a barbecue shapes kind of gal.
Thank you. I will actually, after the barbecue shapes
and then
are finished,
you get all that seasoning right at the bottom and you put it between your two fingers and you just eat it.
I will
like
go further. I will pull it out of the packet. No, not just drink it, turn it inside out and lick it.
Yes.
Cop that, Alan.
Yeah, take that, Alan. Chicken crimpy
but if
suck.
Chicken crimpy's all that's on offer, I'd take it. And I'd have a look at your wife and mum and maybe they need some counselling. If they hate that, there's bigger things to hate, like the Titans, things like that are important in life.
Chicken crimpy go well with a French onion dip, I must admit. It's a good combo.
But really, is the shapes are too cheap? If you're going to go a dip... You don't go a cheap biscuit like the shapes. You go something fancier like those things that Kath has in the cupboard. I don't know what they're called. They're like those things that girls pull out when they're drinking wine. What are they called? Packets of biscuits. What are they?
Crackers.
Crackers. That's it.
It's the same thing, yeah.
But no, but they don't have
you
flavor.
You mean like the cashew and rosemary
I'm saying if
ones
you've got
that you pay $8 a pack for.
Yeah, if you've got a dip, you don't need a flavoured biscuit.
You know what are good? These new ones, it's parmesan, shaved parmesan chips. So it's literally just melted parmesan that they crack into big shards.
But you don't need
so
a dip.
Amazing.
You just eat that on your own.
Oh, my God, that's
so
good.
And then you
so
put
good.
Even more cheese on it.
You get like you get six shards
cheese.
Of just parmesan. And then you just eat them and they're like 10
Yeah,
bucks.
You don't need a dip because
so
I'm
expensive.
Saying you once said to me you don't show your boobs and your legs. You make a decision whether it's the biscuits or the dip that provides the flavour.
I'll have to make mention our producer Snowy and Jack who read through all of their texts on our burner phone and all the listener questions. And he says, if you haven't dunked a chicken crimpy into a rum and coke, you haven't lived.
Who the hell said that? That's... They accidentally dropped one in one night and said, I'm still freaking hungry. I'm having that.
Snowy, you have a problem.
All right. There may be a phone topic in that. Accidental food discovery.
This is the same guy, though, however, who has like 18 Broncos jerseys. So
that's true.
Nothing left to say about
text
that.
A question for the podcast intro 0484 10 1045.
And we told you we had some super entertainment for you on Thursday night's Magic Round Legends Lunch. How more legendary do you get than this bloke? Wally Lewis, the King. Morning, mate.
Good morning. Morning, that time of year again.
Oh, thanks for coming, mate. Well, I guess you're so busy, but we've put it on Thursday to get it out of the way before Magic Round starts. How good a concept. Who thought of this Magic Round? Wally, do you know?
No.
It wasn't Volandis. No. It happened before him in 2019.
Yeah, it certainly did. So it was the big boys in charge of the game, I guess, that come up with it. And I can remember it was ridicule, Marto. When they first came up with this plan, people were saying, oh, geez, that'll be the end of it. The field will be chopped up. They won't be able to play on it.
Yep.
Well, the field was the last thing in the players' minds. They just wanted to get in. And you speak to anybody that was part of it when it took place, did great things for the tourist industry, I know that, but also the chance to watch all of the games at Suncorp, and for the players, I know that they were thrilled by it. They all love playing at Suncorp Stadium.
What is it about playing at Suncorp Stadium, Wally?
I guess it's the history. Used to start with, I can remember we used to bring out the old story about it was an old cemetery, and that's exactly what we want to do when you blokes come up to play. You know, the thrill that was brought out by the state of origin. As soon as that started, and you know, we had some teams from Queensland that didn't appear anywhere near as good as those from New South Wales, yet we recorded enormous amounts of success. So, you know, the history started about what it was about Lang Park that created a little bit of drama for visiting teams.
You know what will happen on the weekend? Like, blokes will come up here from down south and they'll bring their missus or partner, etc., and the partner will go, oh, I don't want to go and see the Bulldogs play. She'll go shopping, yeah. And therefore it'll spread money throughout the thing. But we're really looking forward to this lunch at the Regatta on Thursday, Wal, because Margo and I will be up there. We'll be asking you questions, like you'll probably be answering things people have never heard before, like what did Wayne say to you when he sacked you there in 91 from the Broncos? How did that go down? Will you tell us things like that?
Oh, it'll depend who are you, but
it's
you
a distant
are,
memory.
I might get it, so I might have the opportunity to tell you where to go.
Well, we've been asking our listeners to tell us their best sportsman's luncheon story. What do you reckon would be up there? What would be your best story? You've had plenty. You've encountered a lot. What would be up there with one of your best?
The Kerry Packer. When I first received an offer from the late, great Kerry Packer, that's one that a lot of people say, I've heard it. Is this right? Is this how much he offered you guys, you and Gene Miles, to come down here? And you weren't just going to sign something. He was going to fly you down in the Learjet. That's one that people always love to hear. And,
and how much he actually...
Yeah, and just being in the office with him. I mean, he was Australia's strongest businessman at that stage. And, you know, we were supposed to be these big, tough footballers, and we just folded. We went and Packer said, I'll tell you how much I'm getting. You're not getting a cent more than this.
But did you
Yes, Mr. Packer.
Didn't he keep a gun in his third draw down, too? Anyway, mate, there's some huge stories. Can I ask you one, if you remember? First game, Broncos game. I was there. Brett LeMann scored that try. Did Donnie McKinnon, was it Don McKinnon, their prop, who was a cop, did he have a wee on the
took
field?
Took a leak on the field.
He did too.
Yeah, he took a leak on the field. It was at the river end of the ground, on about the 10-metre line. So if you want a part to stay away from, that's the part of the grass you don't want to go out of near.
Is that bringing the game into disrepute, King?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, it was testing the strength of the boys. How much, you imagine if you did it today,
exactly.
How much you'd get fined. You'd get kicked out of the game for a couple of years. Donnie, I think he got a slap on the wrist, and he just said, and I hope I can say this on air, he said, but the penalty against us, he said, that gave me the shits, he said, so I just needed to have a piss. that was the line that he always used, but he basically just got a slap on the wrist.
Let's not tell them all today. We'll see you Thursday lunch, Wally. It'd be unreal.
Righto, see you there.
That's Wally Lewis, a.k.a. The King. He will be joining us at a Magic Round Legends lunch at the beautiful Regatta Hotel. It's Brisbane's most iconic venue, and it is the perfect place to catch up with mates to watch the game.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Bert Newton had his right leg amputated after an infection, and he had diabetes and had to cut his leg off below his knee to save his life.
Marta, I saw that he had an infection in his toe.
Mm, that's what happened,
that
no
led
circulation.
To a leg amputation. That's a, why not just the ankle? Why not just a foot amputation? Why a leg?
Excellent idea.
How far up? Like kneecap, over the knee, under the knee?
If I was a surgeon, I'd probably have the answer, but surprisingly, I'm not. I don't know, but they often do take it below the knee and then they cauterise it and away he goes.
What sort of infection do you reckon? Are we...
Diabetic infection. They just don't heal because they don't have any circulation. Oh, no. He probably stubbed it. What happens when you've got diabetes and poor circulation? You don't even feel when you hit your leg and hit your feet. Yeah, and you'll get cuts and go, and then they don't heal and stuff
gangrene.
Like that. All right, let's just talk about Bert, though, rather than the infection part. Bert was an absolute legend. Like, TV was only invented in the mid-50s and he came on soon after the invention. Mm. They decided what was going to happen. There was no template. No one going, let's do what they used to in TV.
They made it up. They were the pioneers.
And he was a genius. Him and Graham Kennedy, when I was a young kid, used to go, it was probably too adult for me, but I used to go, they're making everyone laugh. They must be bloody good at what they do. But saw him over the years, kept doing one. One day he came into the studio, and this is when he'd given up with the hair because everyone used to go, what's going on with Bert's head? You know, what's that hair?
A toupee.
Well, you didn't know it was a toupee until finally towards the end of his career, they brought it in a box one day and Bert came in, had a hat on, took it off and he's totally bald. I went, Jesus. And then the girl, the publicist, had the box with a mannequin's head with Bert's hair.
And used to brush it.
And Bert put it on and said, oh, sorry about that. It was sort of a joke towards the end of his career. He was a genius, Bert. And you know what? He must have had a good attitude to life. I never knew him personally, interviewed him a few times, but his wife, Patty, like they were royalty and all the rest of it. Listen to this. Does this sum up Bert Newton's attitude?
I don't think he's thought about it too much. Bert's one of those people, if he doesn't really like what's happening, he just pretends it's not.
See, I love that.
That's a just good way to look at life.
Just compartmentalise. That's how you do it.
Doesn't exist. Out of sight, out of mind.
That's how I dealt with cancer. they told me I had cancer many years ago, and I pretended I didn't have it and moved on, and it went away. I don't know how that happened. Now, hopefully that Bert's leg might grow back like a lizard.
Please
don't
take that as medical advice, anybody. If you have cancer, please seek treatment.
Oh, no, I had treatment first, and then I pretended it didn't happen. Is this making any sense to either of you?
No, I get it.
All right, but what I do want to talk about here was Bert's lost his leg, and I know some people think it's funny, et cetera. There's
I only thought it was funny because the Batuta Advocate put out a meme about it and said that the only worry that Bert Newton will now have is the SAS drinking from his prosthetic leg.
I know, and that's funny, and you've got to make light of the thing, and you know what? Bert would appreciate that.
Would laugh.
And you know what else Bert would appreciate? He would appreciate me doing one of these.
CSI model.
An investigation.
A complete investigation into when you lose not just a limb, a finger, anything off your body, but also internal organs.
Kidney stones.
Yeah.
A liver.
Put them in the jar.
Appendix.
You can ask the doctor, a plum
on in your pants.
Testicle. Of course, if you lose your testicle. I remember when my dog had his two testicles taken off and they said, do you want them? And I said, yep, I'd like them in a jar. But then when I looked at them, I said, oh, no, I can't take them home. That'll just taunt him. Because I kept one of my cartilages in a jar for years. I kept my kids' teeth.
I kept one of my kids' umbilical cords for a little bit and then it started to get a bit stinky, so I threw it out.
Well, I'm hoping that Bert kept his festering leg and maybe put it in a fish tank. You know, that would be perfect.
Have it embalmed.
There's me leg.
Hang it on the wall.
People do this.
You reckon?
I don't know.
It's like people who taxidermy their animals.
Oh, yeah. What?
They would be the sort of people that would keep their own body
bits
parts, I reckon.
All right. That's all I want to know. And maybe no one will ring, but I've got a feeling somebody out there will have a body part in a jar somewhere and I want to hear about it.
Can be any body part.
It doesn't have to be your... Oh, yeah, it has to be
Hopefully
yours.
It's
otherwise,
not someone else's.
The police will investigate.
Call now.
Phil from Joiner. Good morning, 133353.
What did someone ring?
Yeah, a few people rang, Marto. I'm suspicious.
What did we want, though?
It says, have you got a body part in a jar? Phil?
No, I don't have a body part, but my mate Benny, he got his finger bitten off in a fight. Mm. And he keeps a freezer and he chucks in his mate's sandwiches every now and then.
Hold on. How old is the finger? Like, where I wanted them in a jar. What does he keep it in?
In the freezer.
In the freezer. And what just pulls it out?
Every now and then.
He pulls it out and every now and then he'll throw it in a mate's sandwich so they can have a bite as well.
Now, Phil, how did he get it back, like, during the fight? I haven't had a finger bitten off yet. I'm looking forward to that day. What a blue that'd be. But what finger is it first?
His pinky finger.
Pinky, yeah, that's a passenger anyway, the pinky. We could all do without
just
that.
Just hanging on.
How did he get it after the fight? Like, the fight finished, and he went, he's got me finger, and some bloke's chewing on something. What happened?
Hey, just picked it up off the floor.
Off the floor, of course. Where did it happen?
Threw it in the freezer.
Where was the stink?
I think it was at my sister's place.
Of course it was.
Oh, my goodness.
What a story.
I feel like we've opened ourselves up for.
But all right.
All
I didn't get a chance. Phil's gone. Thank you, Phil, from Joiner. That was enlightening.
We got a text on the burner phone from Chucky from Buchan. Hey, Chucky, on the bar at home. He's got the crown jewels from their dog.
Mm.
My daughter went through a bad breakup when the next bloke turned up on site. I told him that's what happened to the last guy that broke my daughter's heart. They're a good motivation tool to have around.
Good work, Chucky. Tim from the Gold Coast, tell us your story.
Many years ago, as a kid, I was in my grandfather's garage and just going through, as you do, fossicking around and found a little box.
Oh, yes.
And in it was a pair of ears.
Come on.
So both of them, that's good.
Two ears.
Both ears, and they were in cotton wool. Mm. And I ran out of there like I'd seen a ghost.
Did you ever find out whose ears they were?
They were my grandfather's.
They were his. So what did he have on his head?
How did he wear glasses?
He didn't wear glasses and he didn't. He basically had little stubbles there, I remember, as a sort of young adult.
What happened to them? Why did he have no ears?
He has suffered a lot of skin cancer through after the war.
Hey.
He's a pretty fair-headed guy. And for some reason, he... had the ears in the box in the garage.
That's extraordinary. What happened when Granddad died? Who got them? You know, how everyone gets, you have that table. You
Did
have
he leave them
a
to
fight,
anyone?
Have his old car.
In the will.
Did everyone, who?
My brother moved into the house several years later with his family.
Don't tell me you threw them.
I think he may have because I didn't really want to go back there, but like... Yeah, I mean, what do you do? It's not exactly a memento you're going to hang on the wall.
No, I don't know about that. I think it's quite something quite
hang
special.
Out off it.
We're finding out today. You could add it to someone's sandwich.
Thank you so much, Jim. Fascinating story.
Fascinating. Chris from Morayfield.
Morning, guys.
Yeah,
good morning.
What have you got? Is it an internal organ or a out?
I think the trend of the day is it's not me, but someone I know lost his finger to a drop saw.
Yeah,
right. He put it in formaldehyde and then he cast it in resin and it's now his keychain.
Oh, my God. Oh,
magnificent.
Out. What? Which finger again? Ooh, that might be an important...
Pointer.
Oh, his pointer. Jeez, you know.
Left pointer.
Yeah. Left or right? Left, yeah, where he's holding it down. Hey,
he could fasten a bottle top opener to it and use it as a bottle opener. That'd be good.
Chris, if you see him, can you make Margot's suggestion to him? Open stubbies with it?
Probably try.
Oh, no.
Good on you, Chris. Going to give you $100.
I'm so weirded out by this.
To spend at CNL Tools Sanyo, where you want to buy tools, not talk to one. CLToolsCentre.com.au.
CSI.
Case solved. You're feeling
investigation over.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Hey, you might have seen it in social media, etc. But a bit of a fight down at Logan Brothers the other day. It was an under-13 game and it was pretty ugly. The adults got involved. It wasn't on the field between the players. They were doing their thing and the adults went nuts.
Just keeps going on.
Yeah,
it's awful.
And on. It was awful. Someone got kicked in the head and badly injured at one stage. And you said to me only, I reckon, on Thursday or Friday that your young blokes play down at Carina.
Yeah, it had been brought to our attention via our Junior Rugby League Football Club Facebook page. The first weekend, you know, back into the season of footy, there had been an incident between some of the clubs and some of the parents and a referee where they were seen to be abusing a referee, and so therefore a warning was sort of put out saying, hey guys, we shouldn't have to address this, but parent behaviour on the sideline, you know, there's a line, don't cross it.
It's a game.
They're kids, it's first game back, come on, can we be, you know, responsible? And then we see those scenes on the weekend out at Kitchener Park, Wynnum, where six on one, Marto, like just disgusting. And
there's all sorts of angles to it.
Yeah.
And Margo, I think we've actually got a call from someone who might have witnessed it.
David, I've been told that you were out there on the weekend and might have seen the blue when was it? Was it halftime or full time?
No, it was during the game, Marto. Yeah, I was out there. I coach the under nines South Graceville Hounds and we're on the field next to it.
Right. Is this David Miles?
Yep, that's me.
You used to play for the Gold Coast and the Titans.
Yeah, and the Cowboys, yeah, a long time ago, Marto.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, mate.
So you're coaching the under-9s team and the under-13s is on the field next door and there seems to be a blue, what looks to be one parent v six others. What was the circumstances surrounding the events of this happening?
Yeah, that pretty much, we just heard some commotion and everything stopped in all the fields and just turned around and there would have been a dozen parents or spectators anyway on the field and just punching on. It was violent and unnecessary, Margo, to be honest. It was a really horrible look for our game.
Well, it left one man so badly injured. He had facial injuries that he required surgery because he was kicked in the face by someone who came in late.
Was
it was
horrible.
Disgusting.
Hey, Dave, did you get the same message? Margot's tied up at Carina with her young fella. Did you get the same message to everyone to have a look at themselves in the next few weeks? The league's come down and said, listen, let's start behaving like human beings.
Yeah. I think, but that's a given, isn't it? I would have thought so.
You
know, this is an under-13s game, Mother's Day of all things, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Parents just need to sit down. I mean, I'm vocal on the sideline, but it's encouragement. It's yes, go, run, tackle, try. That's where
positive.
It needs to be left. Parents getting involved is actually ruining the game.
Dave, have you had to talk to any of your parents to just calm the farm?
Yeah, and it's difficult, Marto, because I live in an area where it's a rugby. There's a lot of private schools, and it's
Taylor
quite hard.
Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to get kids to play league, and a lot of that comes down to what happened on the weekend. So I've got a lot of mums from school. Yeah, come down, I'll coach the boys, and you know half of them saw that, mate. And then it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It's not our game, you know. Like our kids are out there having fun with the other little kids, and it was a good. And they turn around and that's happening. You know, they get scared. The other parents go, what the heck have I got my kid into? you know, and it's just a horrible look for the whole sport from a few people.
I mean, we've got enough bad press going on at the moment around rugby league and the media at the top professional level. Like, we need to be starting from scratch, having a clean slate, teaching these young boys respect and consideration. And it stems from parent behaviour. And this is learned behaviour that's then going to filter through this game for years. And we need to stamp it out now.
Dave, yep. What an honour to have you ring. More than 120 games in NRL and 3 test matches for the USA.
That's a little bit loose, that one. But yeah. I went to Vegas once and they gave me a jersey.
You're too good. Thanks for ringing, Dave.
No worries, guys.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much.
You get players like David Miles used to play in the backs for, incredible that he rang up. But he got all his aggression out. Maybe is it parents trying to relive through their kids their disappointments of their own playing careers?
Well, for 16 years, I sat beside Corey's parents and watched him play. Never said a word. Nothing ever came out of their mouth. They just sat, they watched, and then they talked to him after the game if they wanted to say something to him about his form on the field.
Does anyone have a theory on why this is happening? How it's going on? Well, you guys listening right now, you see the all of Brisbane, you see the good, bad. I go and watch AFLW this time of year, and also I've been watching rugby. I haven't seen an incident this year.
Is this a one-off thing? Is this happening really infrequently, or is it something that you see at your junior sport? I mean, it's not just limited to rugby league. It's across all sports we see this sort of behaviour. 133 53, or text us on the burner phone 0484101045. We want to get your thoughts on it.
What's going on at your junior sport? Any trouble?
Mary from Mount Crosby, you've got daughters that play netball, do you?
Yes, daughters used to play netball, yeah.
What do they do out at netball?
Oh, one time there was so many parents being verbally aggressive to the umpires and the children on the courts that one Saturday we had no parent was allowed to make a comment or you'd be escorted off the, off the area.
At netball, what they were having a go at these. Netball. Some of those netball referees are 16 years of age, and they make mistakes occasionally.
Yeah, it wasn't just the the referees; it was also the little girls playing. Their parents being so abusive to them.
Goodness, Mary, what sort of parent are you on the sideline? Are you vocal? Like, I openly admit that I cheer and I say,
positive.
"Go, Wiley!" It's positive encouragement. You know, that some kids actually really thrive off and enjoy. What sort of parent are you?
I'm like you, Margot. Yeah. It's all positive. Yeah, and if you've got nothing good to say, don't
say it at all. Exactly. Old school, Mary. Yeah. We were taught that as kids. If you've got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all.
Good call, Mary. Actually, the netball seems to have got it right. Don't make any noise if it's not good. John from Arachula, what have you seen?
Yeah, some of the behaviour on the sidelines is deplorable. We're playing under 10s on the weekend, and some of the carry-on from the people on the sideline is disgraceful. There'd be a ref there, I reckon, he'd never ref before. You got kids that have never played before. Yeah. Some that are good in the other teams. And, one of the fellas, punish them, and then abusing the ref and then telling the kid, tell the ref this. And by the end of the game, one of the kids is, telling the ref what to do. And I'm like, mate, that's not on.
John, what do you think should happen to parents like that? And obviously we've seen this footage of this brawl happening where there was violent scenes. Should they be banned completely from the game? Like, does someone higher up need to come in and stamp this out?
Well, it's a tough one because it was one of those league officials right there. He could hear everything.
He
doesn't want to get involved because the type of fella it was, if anyone said something, he'd want to be confrontational.
Well, ultimately, they're parents. You know, as a parent of the game spectating, you nominate someone to run the flag, someone to run the drinks, and someone to be duty official.
And someone's the field marshal.
And they're just a parent. Maybe we need to bring someone who's more official to be a duty official, perhaps, John. Do you think that would help?
Are you asking, John, whether we need a paid security dude?
Possibly, but Margo, it's hard to get volunteers at your club.
It most certainly is.
A lot of people just want to sit there and drop little Johnny off and thanks, and then, it's a done and dusted deal for them. So,
hey, John, was this rugby league we're talking about?
It might have been.
Righto.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I actually had a conversation to a couple of the parents afterwards, and I said, the difference is you've got a guy there yelling at some poor ref, and the ref was like apologising to me after the game. I said, mate, this is under 10s. I don't care, mate. It goes each way. We're not even playing for results. I've got kids out here that never played. Just carry on. Ignore what happened. But you see it in the league, like good old Paulie Gallen was the king of it. Get right up in the ref's face, abuse him. right? In union, the ref just turns to you and goes, "You the captain? No, walk away, please."
Hey, oh no, thanks, John. On another scale, and this is related but unrelated, I can't cop referees getting too close to players. Like, they know all their names. Just call them by the number. That's a big time. But we're talking kids' sport here. Marcus from Gordon Park, what are you seeing, mate?
Yeah, look, I refereed rugby league for nearly 15 years. Okay. Probably did 1,000 games of junior and senior rugby league.
So, Marcus, you would have experienced this possibly firsthand. Is this something that happens regularly, or is this just a once-off occurrence where parents are getting involved and scenes of violence are happening at games?
Look, over those years, Margo, I certainly saw it quite a few times. I mean, you do that many games, you do see that sort of percentage of the society that can't control themselves. But I would say the large majority of people probably sound like, you know, yourself or myself when I go to watch my kids play sport. They're just there to support them and hopefully have a good game.
Yeah.
Marcus, I only refereed for a few years to junior rugby union, but I once went over and did the classic offering the whistle to an idiot who was yelling out at me. Did you ever try that?
No, I didn't. I didn't, Marto.
Mate, that makes them feel about 2 inches tall. It's a wonderful way to cut them down.
I actually had to address, Marto, and I thought I'd just come to full admission here. I actually had to address a referee once at halftime about a try that he allowed my son. I said, "Mate, that was a knock on. Don't give him the try."
Oh, that's okay.
How is he going to learn the lesson? I said, "Can you please, next time he doesn't put the ball down properly,
don't give
disallowed
it to him.
Try. Don't give it to him."
Stickler.
Thanks for your calls, everyone.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Well, Marto, the barbecue man, as he's been dubbed, has been named and shamed, and he's been identified as a boss of a global investment manager firm. And he was looking at the Barbecue's Galore chain as a potential acquisition.
This is the guy who got COVID.
This
in Sydney.
Is the guy that got COVID in Sydney.
Man.
The mystery man, being dubbed Barbecue Man, and I just read that he has acquired the first locally acquired case of the double mutant Indian mutation version.
Hold on. They've used double mutant and Indian mutation.
Yeah. He has the first locally acquired case of the double mutant Indian mutation of the virus. And what does that mean? I don't know. So I thought we'd ask Dr. Paul Griffin, who is the head of infectious disease at the Mater Hospital, what is the double mutant Indian mutation of the virus? Dr. Paul Griffin.
Yeah, hi. So what we know is this virus changes over time. It's been doing that right from the start. And when we see a change that changes how the virus works, whether it's more infective or changes how the vaccine works, we get a little bit concerned. And with this Indian one, what we've seen is some mutations in the bit of the virus where it binds, and that does seem to make it a little more infectious.
Okay, so we had first up the UK variant, then we had the South African variant, I think we had the Brazilian variant, now we've got the Indian double mutation variant. They're all still COVID. People like us shouldn't be worried about what variant it is. That's just a technical term.
Oh, exactly right. We haven't yet seen a variant the vaccine won't protect us from, at least to a large degree. And they're all still transmitted the same. So if we all still do the things we've been doing to keep it at bay, we will still protect ourselves. So masks, social distancing, hand hygiene, lots of testing, and getting the vaccine will still go a very long way to protecting us.
Is there indication that people can be asymptomatic with having these higher infectious variants of COVID? Because this gentleman has contracted it and they still can't figure out how or why, having no contact with someone from India.
Yeah, we do know, and this is what makes this virus so tricky, is that some people can be infected and be infectious with having very few, if any, symptoms. So they go about their day-to-day lives without knowing they're potentially passing this on to people. And, you know, that's why we need people to be really attentive to any symptoms and to follow all the public health advice. So, you know, the chances of this getting out there are minimal.
What are we going to see moving forward, Paul? It seems like this is just continuing to keep going on and on. Once the vaccine has been completely rolled out, if we see cases of COVID, what is it going to look like then?
Look, I really do think we need to start looking to how we can live with this much less of an impact on our lives. And, you know, the vaccine is a huge part of that. The more people protected, the less likely we are to see, you know, really significant consequences from the odd case that gets out. And, you know, we will see cases pop up from time to time, particularly if we start to open up. But if we all do the right thing, we have lots of testing and people do the right thing when they do have symptoms or they are waiting for their test, then we should be able to lock it down really easy and keep it under control.
Hey, Paul, I'm over 50. Got a lot of friends who are over 50. There's a lot of discussion about suspicion about AstraZeneca. Is there any chance we can have Pfizer, or are my friends being ill-informed?
Look, at the moment with AstraZeneca, obviously lots of chat about that rare but significant side effect. But the key thing is it's still been determined and it's very clear it's a safe and effective vaccine in the group we're using it. We will have more Pfizer coming in, and we will get a third vaccine almost certainly within the next few months, the Novavax vaccine. So we will address some of our limitations in terms of supply. But, you know, the main thing is get the first vaccine you're eligible for.
Can I check? So this will become like the flu vaccine, which I had about 5 weeks ago. Every year you'll have to get your COVID booster, is that right?
It's very likely. We don't yet know if that's going to be every year or every 2 years, for example. So, you know, exactly how long we're protected is still being determined, but it's almost inevitable we'll need some kind of boosting at some stage.
Dr. Paul Griffin, from the head of infectious disease at the Mater Hospital, thank you very much for clearing all that up for us.
No problem. Thank you.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30. Marto's Thought on Sport.
Well, the biggest event in the world, I guess. There won't be any international spectators, but the Olympics is on about 10 and a half weeks.
When is that?
Well, watch Kate Campbell.
Get her injection.
Get her injection. Yeah, a little vaccination. First COVID jab. She's the only swimmer, if she walked down the road. Oh, Mac Horton, I might. Gee, our swimming's taken a dip in the last...
In the days of knowing the swimmers are over,
taking
is that what you're trying to say?
We used to know every Olympics.
Libby Trickett, Susie O'Neill, Patria, whatever her name was.
The piano pusher, Grant Hackett.
Thorpe.
They were incredible. They were in our consciousness and we knew what they looked like.
Who are the swimmers of today?
Ariana Titmus is apparently our number one swimmer. I wouldn't know what she looked like. She'd need a T-shirt going Ariana on the front. Anyway, so Kate Campbell does that. And then ABC did a little story on their news last night talking about the mental pressures of being an Olympian.
Life as a professional athlete is a stressful business, but the demands of Olympic preparations during a pandemic are taking its toll. New research has revealed almost half of our Olympic hopefuls are facing mental battles.
These are some of our strongest, mentally some of our strongest people in Australia, and they're going through terrible mental health problems, partly because the Olympics were... put back a year, and you think about it. You think how lucky you are if you're listening and you're a professional rugby league player. There's 500 of you in Australia, AFL player, 500 of you in Australia. There's probably 200 pro rugby players.
You prepare all week for a game on the weekend. These guys prepare every day for like 4 years.
That's right. Every weekend, if you get beaten, you go, oh, there's always next week. We'll sort it out at training this week. And then at the end of the year, even if you lose the grand final, in 4 months' time, you get another crack again. These poor people, and I watched, there was a couple of divers on from Brisbane. I don't know your names, but if anyone tells you that Marto was talking about you. And now I know I find diving slightly silly. It's just doing twirly whirlies and ending up. We can all do diving, but they can do it really
precision
well.
Precision and accuracy, right. It's about Marto.
They got their chance. You think they don't get paid anything to dive into the pool and to try to win Olympic gold, and two of them won bronze last time they were out at the Olympics, but they don't get paid a cracker, and they got the stress of getting separated from their coaches last year. It's such a tough thing.
Their training is really rigorous, and all they do in the end is like, what, 3, 4, maybe 5 dives get to prove themselves.
You feel sorry if you see an Olympian, give them but they are incredible. And they don't get the rewards that all these other athletes do, and they only get one chance every 4 years.
We should try and speak to one of the Olympians that is heading over to Tokyo, maybe in the lead up to the games.
If you're a parent or a friend, give us a yell at any time on 333.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
What a morning on the Big Breakfast, 104.5 Triple M with Marto and Margo. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the half price sale is now on.
Oh, half price of vitamins, half price of cosmetics, all your favourite brands, Swiss, Synovus, Bioglan, L'Oreal, Maybelline, Rimmel, Nature's Way, Sally Hansen, the lot, all half price.
Chemist Warehouse always said great savings every day, more so now, half price. Get into it.
Make great happen with TAFE Queensland. Triple M's Lend a Hand.
Hey, listen, we've got Corey and Mandy, the parents of Ollie, and Ollie coming in tomorrow as well to tell us how things are going. We saw it live yesterday, and they're the work's going well. But they're telling me their daughter Ollie, who we were doing this at Ollie's place for, is going to have brain surgery tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah, and we're going to be hearing from Corey and Mandy. But we've heard from Dan out on site this morning at Arana Hills, and he needs a couple of tradies urgently. So listen up if you can help out. Marto, we need a waterproofer to waterproof the new slab.
Okay.
And a bricklayer to help fix up the new door. The bricks are already on site. We just need someone to lay them.
Okay, so we need a brickie if anyone's out there. Otherwise, yeah. I'll start bugging some
of my
friends.
Materials. We just need your hands to lay them for us.
So we're out at Arana Hills. The slab's about 14, 15 metres long, about 4 metres wide. So they need to, before we put the covering, the pad, so for Ollie to fall down on, we need to waterproof it underneath first. So not a tough job, boys and girls, but if there's a waterproofer, that's what we need immediately.
Yeah, give us a call, 133353 if you can lend a hand, or head to our triplem.com.au website and register your details there.
Yeah, so we're building this padded structure for little Ollie. It's an amazing project. Triple M's lend a hand thanks to TAFE Queensland. Make great happen with TAFE Queensland. Guys, we are done. We will see you tomorrow.
God, you do so much for this town.
You've been listening to Triple M's Big Breakfast for Chemist Warehouse. And right now, get half price big brand vitamins and cosmetics. Terms and conditions apply. Triple M.